They're here.
Murine glanced up sharply from the message she was writing as her maid entered the room. She waited until Beth closed the bedchamber door before asking, "Did you find out who they are?"
"Nay."
The brunette looked vexed.
"None of the maids or the lasses in the kitchen seem to ken, or if they do, they're no telling me."
"Oh," Murine said with disappointment, then shook her head and returned her gaze to the message she'd been writing. Mouth tightening, she signed her name to the bottom.
"It matters not. They're Scots. Surely their trip home will take them past the Buchanans or the Drummonds, and they will deliver this for me."
Biting her lip, she began to wave the parchment about to dry it and added,
"I hae a couple of coins left I can give them for their trouble." "Most like they'll pocket the coins. Say they'll deliver it and toss it away as soon as they've left Danvries," Beth said unhappily. "I dunno ken why you just dunno send one of your brother's men with a message."
"I have sent three that way and got no response," Murine reminded her grimly. Mouth flattening with displeasure, she admitted,
"I begin to suspect Montrose is not sending them at all." "But why would he do that?"
"'Tis hard to say with my brother," Murine muttered unhappily. "He's a difficult man."
Beth snorted. "He's a selfish, greedy cur, hell-bent on wagering his life away and yours with it. But I see no reason for him no to send your messages to your friends."
"Neither do I," Murine admitted unhappily. "But if he did send them, then..." She bit her lip, unwilling to give voice to her biggest fear. If Montrose had sent her messages, then Sade, Joe and Edith just weren't bothering to answer. That thought was a troubling one, and made her worry that she had said or done something when last they were together to upset them all. Murine had racked her brain, trying to sort out what that might be, but could think of nothing. She then switched to wondering if perhaps her brother wasn't sending them as he assured her he would. She couldn't imagine why, but was actually beginning to hope that was the case. It was certainly preferable to thinking her three best friends had turned their backs on her for some reason. "It should be dry enough now," she muttered and quickly rolled, then sealed the parchment.
"How are you going to get it to the Scots without your brother seeing?"
Beth asked worriedly as she stood up.
"I heard Montrose ordering Cook to be sure he has lots of food and drink on hand when the Scots get here,"
Murine explained as she slid the parchment up her sleeve and checked to be sure that it was concealed and wasn't being crushed. "I shall slip the message to one of the men when Montrose is distracted with eating."
"Your brother is offering food and drink to someone?"
Beth asked dryly.
"I never thought to see the like. The bastard's so cheap, I'd think he'd choke on the offer."
"I expect he's hoping to fill them with ale or whisky to make them more amenable to accepting credit, rather than demanding payment for the horses he wants," Murine said, satisfied that the parchment would be fine up her sleeve.
"Aye, well, Lord knows he has no the coin to actually buy them. He's already gambled away all of his own money, and your dower to boot,"
Beth said bitterly.
"Aye,"
Murine agreed wearily. It was not a subject she cared to contemplate. She'd been horrified when she'd learned that bit of news. She'd thought her situation dire enough when she'd had a dower but no betrothed. But without dower, it would be impossible to find anyone willing to marry her. It now looked like she would live out her days here at Danvries as an old maid, dependent on her selfish brother. And that was only if he didn't tire of her presence and send her off to the Abbey to become a nun. Pushing that depressing thought from her mind, she brushed the wrinkles out of her gown, straightened her shoulders and headed for the door.
"Come, we will sit by the fire in the great hall until they come in. Then once the food arrives, we will use that as an excuse to join the table and slip my message to one of the men.